Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back once again. FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast here on Wednesday, February the 3rd, 2021. Adam Pfeiffer here. Joe Metz off this evening, or this afternoon, or this morning, whenever you're listening. Got Kyle Murray on from FTN Daily. Does a lot of the content there. You've heard Kyle on this podcast many times. You've read his stuff. You've checked out his projections. All that great stuff to help me break down this slate. Kyle, what's up, man?
Not much. Just coming off of a pretty lackluster day of NBA, so I'm excited to look for a bounce back day here.
Not enough Fred VanVleet?
Not nearly enough, nope. And too much of guys that didn't do much of anything at all. So yeah, looking for a bounce back for sure. But it's a good slate. You mentioned that before we started recording. That was like a pretty interesting slate with some news and stuff. So I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah, very, very wild night for Fred VanVleet. Oh, yeah, 11 threes, 54 points. Just massive game from him. That was awesome. But yeah, there's, 10 games on this slate. A lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. We'll start with Philadelphia and Charlotte. Obviously, always have to see about Joel Embiid, but he's off the injury report after, playing or not playing, I guess I should say, since Sunday didn't play Sunday against the Pacers. He's off the injury report, which is good news. And then PJ Washington, he's been ruled out with a foot injury. That's very significant. And Terry Rozier, who missed the last game with an ankle injury, is questionable. Let's start with Charlotte because they're really interesting here. Obviously, everybody flocked to LaMelo Ball that last game, entered the starting lineup, got into some foul trouble early, which hurt, but he got you 30 fantasy points, and he was like one of the highest players of the slate in terms of roster percentage, so it really didn't kill you, but he's 7K, perfectly fine going back to him even against the Sixers team if Terry Rozier is out, but we also have PJ Washington out. I mean, Cody Zeller has been fantastic lately. This is a terrifying matchup against Joel Embiid, who is, last time I looked, he is generating a shooting foul on like 23% of his shot attempts this year. It's like one of the highest rates in the league, which if you watch Joel Embiid play, not too surprising. Let's start with Charlotte, though. Let's start with what we know. PJ Washington is out. Does that put you on Zeller more at 5,800 despite the tough matchup? Or does that make you interested more in maybe a Miles Bridges at 4,600? Then we'll talk about the guards and Malik Monk and Devontae Graham with Rozier potentially out.
Yeah, so for me, it's kind of doing a lot throughout the entire rotation, right? So like Zeller doesn't really have they're probably going to put Biombo back into the rotation and he'll play some, but it really secures Zeller's minutes. Like it's kind of like we haven't really had to worry about his minutes lately because he's been playing so well. Now I think he's to a point where he doesn't really have any competition for those minutes to really be pulled away from him. As long as he's starting, he's going to see 30-plus minutes. That you can kind of lock that in now with Washington out because Borrego came out and said, hey, we need to get Washington some time at the five. Essentially remove Biombo from the rotation, getting Washington some time at the five. So now it's really going to sure things up for Zeller. So we don't really have to worry about – I mean, obviously, if you're rostering, you want him to play well, obviously. But you don't have to worry about that, like losing minutes for him. But, yeah, after that, it's kind of hard to tell who was benefiting from the minutes based on the P.J. Washington injury rather than the Terry Rozier injury. So, like, Malik Monk, Devontae Graham, those guys all got monster minutes last game. Obviously, the game went to overtime, so you can knock about 5 minutes off for all of those guys. For me, the guy that I think benefits the most is Miles Bridges, I think, just because I think Caleb Martin gets the minutes boost. I think he could potentially see more minutes here. But I just am not really interested in playing him. I guess he's not terrible if you wanted to take a very low punt here. But I think Miles Bridges is somewhat interesting. He's a guy that we've seen him be productive and efficient at times. You know, he's not the most amazing permanent player, but he can definitely see times where he's effective and all that stuff. So Bridges is probably the guy that pops first into my mind. I think he would be the one to start if Rozier's out again. If Rozier does play, I think Malik Monk could potentially stay in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
They could play Hayward at the four.
Monk I think the they will play Hayward at the four a lot in this game, by the way, yeah. Because the Sixers are just going to run Tobias at the four for obviously the majority of the game when he's in. Then, they're going to play when he's out. I mean, they don't have like a four that you worry about in terms of size and physicality. Like they don't have a post-up player at the power forward at all. Like they'll play maybe Ben Simmons at the four sometimes when like if they're playing Shake Milton with him or something like that. Or other than that, it's going to be Tobias and then what, maybe like Matisse. Like they don't have a four.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll definitely be able to play Hayward at the four. I also think they'll kind of have to, mm-hmm. just unless, you know, they play Caleb Martin a ton of minutes at the four. But at that point, why not just let Hayward do it? Because already you're going to be smaller. So they're not playing Zeller and Biombo alongside each other. So for me, it's kind of going to, like, I think they have to start Hayward at the four. So it's just going to be kind of who else starts. I think if Rozier's out, it'll probably be LaMelo and probably this, a similar lineup just with either Bridges or Monk plugging in there. But after Monk's last game, I wouldn't be surprised to see him start. So, I mean, I guess you could consider Bridges the four if he starts alongside Hayward. But, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. It's kind of like positionless basketball at that point.
Yeah, Bridges is a solid point-per-minute guy so far this season with Washington and Rozier off the floor. Again, Rozier's not ruled out, but it's possible he's out. James Borrego said prior to last game that he wouldn't play if he's not 100%. So if he's still not 100%, good chance he doesn't play. Yeah. But with those guys off the floor, just over a fantasy point-per-minute, 24% rebounding rate is one of the higher marks on the team. I think you can go to either one of those guys, especially if Rozier is out. But you're right. I mean, with Washington already out, yes, they've been playing him more at small ball five. I don't know if they'll be able to do it in this game, like if he was active, because you have Embiid and then Dwight and then Bradley, or like they're going to have a huge center on the floor. So I don't think they're going to do that with anybody else. So you should see a lot of minutes from Cody Zeller as well. Obvious risk there with the price increase and a tough matchup. For the guards, I mean, you look at the volume. Yes, the game went to overtime, but Devontae Graham had 109 touches last game. LaMelo Ball had 85, so balls in their hands a lot, obviously. We know LaMelo probably has the higher ceiling. If Rozier is out, though, I mean, 6,600 for Devontae Graham is not a bad play. Again, this is a tough matchup. What do you think of those two if Rozier gets ruled out?
Yeah, Devontae Graham really didn't shy away from the ball at all. He was looking to shoot early and often in that last game. And it was actually surprising that he was able to get so many shots up considering how often like Monk was shooting. Late in that game, they were designing plays and running plays for Monk because obviously he was the guy with the hot hand. So yeah, I agree totally. Devontae Graham's 5,500 on FanDuel. So if Rozier's out, even if he's not out, like PJ Washington being out isn't going to like boost him up a ton, but I definitely think it'll help just because they'll be shifting that lineup down a ton. So Hayward playing at the four, whoever's at the three, Bridges or Monk, it's going to open more minutes on the wings for Graham. That's pretty interesting. So I think he's a very strong play. It's not like he's really needed the minutes anyway. He's been on the floor a ton over the past, you know, 2 weeks. So those guys being out could potentially just give him some more usage. As for LaMelo Ball, it's kind of going to depend on ownership for me. Like there are a lot of pivots on this team if you wanted to fade LaMelo Ball. Like last game, we saw Ball jump up to like 70% in some tournaments. And obviously, he didn't really do all that well considering how popular he was. The fact that he even got to where he was a miracle. He got booted out of the game in the first 5 minutes because he couldn't stay out of foul trouble, picked up two early fouls, came back in the game, turned the ball over twice, and then picked up another foul. So he really didn't get significant minutes until the kind of like the third quarter. So LaMelo Ball was a guy who definitely we didn't see what we probably wanted to or what we probably could have out of him as a starter. So I'm totally fine with going back to him, and I would love it if people are off of him after the down game. But yeah, the fact that he even got to where he was, I think, just shows how good of a permanent guy he is. And I guess we don't really need to see that. Like, we know that he's going to be a very efficient player for fantasy. So I would be totally willing to go to LaMelo Ball. If he's super popular, though, you have pivots here. Like, you can go to Graham. You can go to Gordon Hayward, who does get a nice boost, even if Washington is the only one out. But if Rozier's also out, he gets a nice boost as well. So Gordon Hayward, someone I'm interested in. And then Devontae Graham, Malik Monk, whoever that third, I guess, starter on the wing is, whoever's starting at the three or the four, is someone that I'm definitely interested in. But if LaMelo Ball is going to be not massive chalk, even maybe if he is on FanDuel where he's 6'6", like he's going to be an electric play here.
Let's go to the Sixer side. Joel Embiid, 10K flat. He's been right there with LeBron and Jokic as the MVP this year. It's a price tag I always like him at, especially in this matchup. Charlotte's been bad against centers for a while now. You look at a guy like Cody Zeller. Cody Zeller's allowing the fourth most post-up points per game among all players in basketball, 50% field goal percentage from the post. Embiid obviously leads the NBA in post-up possessions and points per game, so it's a smash spot for him. The Sixers' secondary plays are interesting, too. I mean, Ben Simmons, I was really interested in Ben Simmons against Minnesota. He was terrible. Then he was a little bit more aggressive, obviously, with Embiid out against Indiana. But 8,200 for Embiid, or for Simmons, when he's like 8,800 to 9K, when Embiid's active, I usually avoid him. But at this price, I don't hate it. And then Tobias Harris at, what, 7,300. He's fine. My problem is I just would rather play Hayward in this game for $100 cheaper at the same position. What do you think of Philadelphia before we move on?
Yeah, I really like Embiid here. I think it's a good spot for him. You know, Zeller's been good, but I don't think he's anyone that's going to, like, scare Embiid. And, like, Embiid's going to probably dominate this situation like he always has. Pretty much any matchup in the NBA, he's just that good. But, yeah, he's someone I like a lot. And then Seth Curry is someone I want to mention just primarily on FanDuel, but he's not bad on DraftKings either. 4-6. He actually might be even better on DraftKings because he gets the 3-point bonus. But he's under 5K on both sites, so he's someone I'm somewhat interested in.
I struggle with this because I've been talking about 3-point shooters against Charlotte all year because they play zone like 22% of the time. Like 40% of the points against him have come from three. And Curry's obviously a guy that profiles well for that. The price is intriguing. The minutes have been down.
Yeah.
Like they closed with Korkmaz the last game, which was, you know, he had some really clutch shots for them, which helped. But, like, they haven't been shy to close with Korkmaz or Shake Milton or Matisse Thybul or in certain games. That does scare me off him a little bit. But, again, I mentioned it with Duncan Robinson last night when they played Charlotte. And it didn't exactly pan out. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, a three-point shooter like Seth Curry went off for, like, 25 real points in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, it's more just like a price play for me. He obviously comes with some risk with the minutes, but if he does get hot, it's kind of what you're looking for out of a ceiling or like a tournament type play when you're looking for a ceiling. Like if he struggles, the minutes don't really matter, right? So like if you play a guy who's kind of scoring dependent, the more he scores, the better he does, the more minutes he's going to get. Say he's 20 minutes in and he's not really doing anything, him not getting those 10 other minutes doesn't really matter because he sucked and probably tanked your lineup anyway. But when you're looking for that ceiling, you know, if he's 20 minutes in and he has 20 points, he's going to get that extra run. Then that's when you get a really good tournament performance and a good, like, GPP winning performance. So that's kind of what you're looking for out of Seth.
All right, let's move on to the Indiana Pacers at the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee coming off a game where they just destroyed Portland. They're 8.5-point favorites here. It's a 232 total. Let's start wherever. What stands out to you in this game?
The first thing that jumps out to me is Sabonis is under 9K on both sites. He's well under 9K on DraftKings, which is probably criminal in my opinion. He's coming off of a big game, I guess last night or tonight, depending on when you're listening to it. But the big game where I don't know if he put up a triple-double, but he was definitely close. And now the matchup's not fantastic here by any means, but this is a guy who has a double-double in almost every single game on the year. And he's someone that I'm going to keep going back for. You know, I just think that this price tag, and he was a guy who was like stabilized in the mid nines for a while. And now he's 8-3, assuming that they dropped him down just because of matchup, I suppose, because that can't really be because of performance in the game against Memphis, which is going or just happened. Is he went 32 for 13, 58 FanDuel points. So like he's playing massive minutes. There's not really a concern with that knee injury that he had a few games back. So like Sabonis at that price tag, he's for sure a cash option because he's probably going to double-double. You can kind of lock him in for those, and he definitely brings a ceiling.
Yeah, this is a mispriced. Like 8,300, he should never be this price. The matchup's like it's not incredible. It's not terrible, though. And you look at it, like he's going to be matched up with Giannis and like that's going to keep him around the rim at all times. So he's going to be getting rebounds, especially if Miles Turner has to kind of, you know, close out in the perimeter and watch Brook Lopez, who just sits in the corner for three half the time.
Yeah.
This is just a misprice for the one of the players who is second in the league in touches per game. Third in the league in touches per game is his teammate Malcolm Brogdon, who I also think is a little bit too cheap. He wasn't as great as Sabonis on Tuesday night, but facing his former team here, 8,100, he's been consistent all year. I think he's fifth in average time of possession per game, so the ball's in his hands a lot, and it will, they're just running the offense with no TJ Warren and no Caris LeVert yet. Jeremy Lamb's been more involved as he's gotten more minutes, but this is still this is still the offense running through Brogdon and Sabonis. Do you have interest in Jeremy Lamb or Miles Turner?
So Lamb is someone that I do have interest in. I'm a bit worried about him because this is his first time having to play a back-to-back so far this year. So it hasn't really been an issue. The way I view it is if he's going to play, he's going to play. But if they're going to sit him, that's the issue. I don't see a point to limiting him in terms of his minutes. Like, if you're going to play him, you're obviously okay with it. So just play him, you know. So if he sits, obviously it's something to monitor, but if he's going to play, I would probably project him for around 30 minutes. And at that rate, I think he's fine. Like, this is a guy who, if he were in, like, full form and playing 30-plus minutes and we had, like, a full sample, I would assume he would probably be more expensive than 5'7", just based on how good of a permanent guy he is. The matchup's not great, but the Milwaukee Bucks, they allow a lot of three-point attempts. Like, that's their scheme. So it should cater to Jeremy Lamb, a guy who likes to shoot. He likes to shoot threes. So he's someone that I think could potentially find himself in a good spot here. And I think the price is definitely, it's at least affordable. I don't know if it's like a bargain or anything, but for example, he's 600 more than his teammate, Justin Holiday, who I'm absolutely positive Lamb is better than Holiday. So that's just kind of just a quick comparison.
For Milwaukee, Giannis is 11K. If the game stays close, he's going to go for 60 plus. I was a little surprised that Milwaukee opened as 8.5 point favorites. Like, the Pacers are good. I know that Milwaukee's better and they're at home, but it's not like Milwaukee's been, you know, prior to that Portland game, they really haven't been blowing teams out that they should be. So against a strong Indiana team, I think this game does stay close, which, you know, if you go into any slate with Milwaukee and you have to just tell yourself a story. If you think the game's going to stay close, you play Giannis, you can play Middleton, you can play Drew. If you think it's a blowout, you probably don't play these guys. I think this game stays close, so I have interest in Giannis. I think Chris Middleton's a little too cheap at 8,200, and Drew Holiday's at 7,700, but he's been playing really well lately. Over 40 fantasy points in each of his last three games after he started the season off really slow, and his usage rate was down, but I guess he might just be getting more acclimated. So is it just those three guys for you?
Yeah, pretty much. On smaller slates, like a guy like Brook Lopez is someone I'm okay taking a shot on. But, like, for example, he's $200 less than Cody Zeller. I feel a lot better about Zeller's minutes and his production. So I'm pretty much off of everyone not named Giannis, Middleton, and maybe I guess Drew Holiday is in that equation as well. But again, like, he's not someone that I necessarily love either. It's mainly just like. Like, I'd just rather play Middleton for 500 more than Holiday. I just like playing Middleton more. But yeah, Giannis is definitely a guy that's in play. He'll have to compete with some studs on this slate that are in really good matchups that I think we're going to talk about in the next game. So yeah, I think Giannis, if you get to Giannis, totally fine. He probably wouldn't be my favorite stud. He'd probably be my second favorite stud on the slate. But yeah, like you mentioned, if this game stays close, his ceiling is just massive.
All right, let's get to that next game. Dallas at Atlanta. Luka Doncic is almost 11K. He's 10-8 on DraftKings. Dallas is struggling right now. Like Luka needs some help. This is the second end of a back-to-back. Kristaps Porzingis has not played on the second end of a back-to-back yet this year, I don't believe. Actually, he has once, looks like. But there's been plenty of instances where he's sat on the second end. So just keep an eye on that, obviously. But obviously an intriguing game here. Atlanta plays fast. They're not the strongest defensive team. Luka at 10-8. I'm assuming you like him more than Giannis.
Yeah. I think the big thing for me is just the fact that I think people will be down on him. He's been very bad lately. And, I mean, he's been bad for Luka standards, right? He's been bad for a guy who's almost 11K standards over the past four games, 47, 49, 45, 45 DK points. You know, before that, he snuck in an 86 burger, so he can do that. But I think people will probably be down on him. I think people will probably be fairly high on Giannis, just considering he had the bad game last time, but it was easily explained. You know, he only played, 26 minutes, and it was a blowout. Prior to that, he was on a run of 74, 67, 63. So I think people will be higher on Giannis. And Luka could be wrong, because people often levitate to these matchups against the Hawks and teams like that. But for me, just first impression type thing on ownership, I would assume Luka would at least be at a point where maybe he's not lower owned than Giannis, but I think he'll at least be at a point where he's intriguing based on his ownership alone, and the matchup is obviously very intriguing. So I'd be willing to buy, I guess, low on Luka here, looking for a bounce back.
So Porzingis sat on their, what was it, the Phoenix game, I believe. Yeah, he sat. Willie Cauley-Stein started. That was January 30th, so he didn't play on that second of the back-to-back. They played the 29th. He sat the 30th. So there is a chance he sits here.
Well, this isn't the second. This is they had a day off. So
why do I think they played today? You know what it is? I was on Twitter and there was a link of a video of like it was a podcast and they were saying how the Mavericks need help. So I assume they lost again today, but they didn't actually play. All right, so never mind. Porzingis will be active. He's 7,500. Interesting price tag. He's not been great lately. He's been taking plenty of shots. His usage rate's pretty high. I wrote about it when the Lakers played Atlanta. Like, the Hawks have been a top five post-up defense this year, which is intriguing because they're usually looked at as a terrible defense all around, but I think Clint Capela has obviously helped in that regard. Do you have interest in Porzingis? And then, for me, this Dallas team all year has been, when they're healthy or relatively healthy, it's been you play Luka, you play Porzingis if you want, and then you move on.
Yeah, I mean, I think Porzingis is fine, but you're playing him because he's probably not going to have a ton of ownership. Even and the matchup is good, obviously. But for me, like, you're going to run into a lot of instances where you have guys in that price range or even at that position that just don't have the limitations that he has. Like, he's not going to play mid-30s minutes. His season high is 34, and that was in an overtime game. So he's just not going to do that. So that's the issue. So that obviously caps his ceiling a bit, and you'll have handful of other guys in that price range at that position that just don't have that problem. A lot of those guys don't have the matchup that Porzingis has, so if you wanted to target it, don't hate it. But again, that's the main reason with Porzingis and why I'm probably just going to hold off on him until he kind of finds himself in those mid-30s minutes more often.
For Atlanta, Trae Young, bad matchup last game against the Lakers. Didn't matter. He scored over 50 fantasy points again. That's 8 straight games for him with 50 or more. He's been fantastic, still just not getting priced up that much. He's 9,500 on DraftKings. Dallas has been good against guards this year, but Trae Young has given you no reason to not play him. DeAndre Hunter is still out. Bogdanovich still out. So, you know, Danilo Gallinari's minutes slowly but surely increasing, but not enough to where I think we can consider him. He still hasn't played 20 minutes since coming back from injury. Then Clint Capela, this is an interesting spot for him. Dallas is allowing the second highest field goal percentage at the rim in the NBA, and we know Clint Capela is just getting everything at the rim. Obviously not breaking slates like he was earlier, but he's double-doubled in, I believe, every game he's played this year. He's been fantastic, or except for one, I think. But he's grabbed double-digit rebounds in every game. Leads the NBA in rebounding opportunities per game at over 23. Like, he's been ridiculous. For Atlanta, Trae Young, Clint Capela, John Collins is the player I just struggle with and I haven't gotten too much this year. What do you think of Atlanta?
I think there are a few good options here. Dallas doesn't really play fast or anything like that, but Atlanta they'll speed it up enough on their own to hold some value here. I like Trae Young a pretty good amount. On DraftKings, he's 9.5. On FanDuel, he's 10.4, so a bit more difficult over there. Like, he's, you know, more expensive than Westbrook. He's 2,000 more than Brogdon. He's almost 2,000 more than Ben Simmons. There's a lot of guys he's just a lot more expensive than on FanDuel. So not the greatest over there. You know, he's 1,100 less than Luka. I would rather find the salary to get there. But on DraftKings, he's 9.5. I like that price. And then with all these wings out still, Hunter out, Bogdanovich still out, there's going to be a lot of minutes here. You know, last game, Herter played nearly 40 minutes. Cam Reddish didn't really play a ton, which is surprising. I don't know if he got into foul trouble early. He finished the game with 3 fouls, so I didn't check the game log or whatever to see when the fouls occurred. But Herter is a guy who he's going to continue to start, I would assume, and continue to play massive minutes. Didn't really do a ton in terms of production last game, but he's a guy who he can heat up pretty quickly, and he can get scoring and fill up the stat sheet a bit. So he's someone that I do have some interest in. But it's mainly those two. And then Capela is also fine. Same with John Collins. I just, those two really eat into each other, and it's very frustrating. And it's kind of like Capela's just like gotten all of it. He's really taken away from John Collins. He's just doing all the rebounding, all of the work in the paint, all that stuff, which good for Capella. So I would prefer Capella over Collins.
Yeah, I always do. Collins' ceilings, it's just hurt a little bit. Not just because Capella's hurting his rebounds, but there's, I know they're a little bit banged up, but like Gallinari, they added some more higher usage guys than they had last year at the same time. All right, let's move on to New York at Chicago. These teams played the other night, and you know, it's obviously a massive pace up spot for the Knicks. Pretty much every game is, they're dead last in pace, but the Bulls are top three in pace, so we like that for these players from New York. Julius Randle, 9,100. I played him the last time these teams played the other night. I'll be looking at him again here, especially at a $100 discount, I guess. Not really a discount, but he's priced, if anything, where he should be. I also had interest in Emmanuel Quickley. And look, he played great. He played 30 minutes. He is playing ridiculous over his last, I think it's 11 games. He's averaging over 18, or right around 17 points per game, right around 5 assists per game, 4 rebounds. He's shooting like 42% from 3. He's been awesome. His usage rate is insane as of late, too. So I'll pull it up, but talk about New York here in this nice pace-up spot against the Bulls' bad defense.
Yeah, I like Randle a bit. There are some guys at that position and at the price range that I'm potentially like a bit more. But look, he's been so good this year. He's a triple double threat almost every single night. Again, he's gonna be not a lock. He's not as much of a lock for a double double as Sabonis is, but he's up there. He's got I think a dozen of them or so, and so far this year plus, and I think he's gonna continue that up just because the minutes are so secure for Randle here. It's not really a surprise. Tom Thibodeau teams tend to do that. They'll run their starters a ton, and Randall's kind of been a main beneficiary of that. So he's a guy that I do like a pretty good amount. As for some of these guards here, it does get a little bit messy here. Peyton is pretty much done with Quickley coming onto the scene now. Similar thing for Rivers. Like Rivers was going, he had a time. It was mainly because Burks was out, but he had a time where he had like 25 points and 10 shot attempts or something like that in like 15 minutes. And like those times are over. It's now the Emmanuel Quickley and it's the Alec Burks show. But even Alec Burks' minutes haven't been great. So I think one day here soon, Quickley's going to start, right? Like that's the only thing that makes sense unless they really want to keep him coming off the bench. But the minutes, the trends for all the minutes, like they have shown that Quickley's going to be the guy, their main scorer pretty much, and their main ball handler. So I think eventually that'll be something that happens. Over the past 5 games, 24, 23, 25, 27, and then 30 last game. And last game wasn't even a blowout. I think that was the biggest indication of him really stepping onto the scene. Like prior to last game, I thought that he was really benefiting because of blowouts. Like prior to that, every single game that he played 25 plus minutes in were in blowouts. So I think, or when someone was injured. So now close game, not a lot, no injuries. 30 minutes. So I think Quickley's actually in play here, even though the price is up. But if you want to buy, like if you're buying low on him, assuming that he's going to be a starter playing 30 plus minutes eventually, it makes sense. Like you mentioned, it's a pace up spot.
Yeah, last 2 weeks, Emmanuel Quickley easily leads this team in usage rate, 31%, and 1.24 fantasy points per minute during that span. He's been awesome. I like him quite a bit. I like Randle. Not as excited about RJ Barrett, but I get it. 6,400. He's going to play 37 minutes if the game's close. When I wrote about this game, I had a lot of interest in the New York side, but the Chicago side was lacking. Markkanen, I was all over against Portland, and he was great. I was completely off him the game after against New York, and he was even better, slightly. But 30 real points in back-to-back games for him. I probably will fade him pretty easily here. I understand he just went off, but he's shooting the lights out right now. He's shooting 12 of 23 from three the last two games, and he's 7,100. His rebounds have not been as impressive as I thought they'd be with Wendell Carter Jr. out, so probably won't get to him. LaVine is the only one I'm really interested in at 8,500. Like, there's a solid combination of floor and ceiling for him at that price. Again, it's a terrible matchup. New York plays slower than any team in the league. They're top five in defense, but for me, I know Thaddeus Young's been coming on as of late. The peripherals have been awesome for him. That's probably a reason why Markkanen's rebounds have been great. But Thaddeus Young, he is not this type of facilitator. He never has been. He has 28 assists over the last three games. I'm expecting that to come back down.
Yeah, I mean, he's been very good. Like, I will give him that, but I agree. Like, he's kind of in a role that just hasn't really had. Always been a decent rebounder, a decent scorer, like a hustled type guy. But yeah, the assists have been pretty wild. And I'm not really sure why. Like, there's no indication for like a guy other than the minutes. The minutes have been nice over the past three games, 31, 29, and 31. So if you wanted to continue to project him for around 30 minutes, I think he's a strong play. But the assists are hard to count on. But I don't mind playing him here. I guess on DraftKings it is a little bit difficult because he is 5'9".
I wonder if it's just these last three games that he just so happens to be like everybody that he's been passing the ball to has been hitting shots. Like, yeah, like I honestly, because I've loved Thaddeus Young since he's been on the Sixers. Super underrated player throughout his career. He has never been this type of facilitator ever.
Yeah, and one thing to note that I just realized is that FanDuel moved him to center, so that's not great.
That's
and he's. Yikes. And he's 5'8", so.
That's yikes.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's like LaVine or bust. Like, Kobe White's been super disappointing this year. He's down to 6,100 on DraftKings. In a different spot, I'd have interest, not this spot. I'd rather just play quickly.
Yeah, I think I'd rather play, I don't know. I don't really love LaVine here either.
I don't love him either. I'm just, if there was one player I'd play in this team, it'd be LaVine. This, like, I don't like the Bulls in general all that much in fantasy, especially in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Markkanen's been very good lately, but the weird thing is he's not really doing anything peripheral-wise. Like, he hasn't had a game where he had 10-plus rebounds since the 17th. Prior to that, hasn't had another one in January. So, like, he's not rebounding a whole lot. So his production is coming purely off of scoring. And I don't know if that's what you want to count on for Markkanen with guys like LaVine there, with guys like even Otto Porter, Kobe White, like, they have a lot of scorers here, and Markkanen probably isn't going to be at the top of that pecking order. So for him to really be reliable, you need him to do more, and just hasn't been. I think the guy that I would most want to take a shot on is Kobe White, just because the price tag, like, you kind of know where his minutes are going to be. They're going to be mid-30s. He has potential to see upper 30s minutes, and he's just really cheap at 6'1". So he's someone that, you know, I don't like him a ton, but if I had to pick a bull, I think I would pick Kobe White, just because if you go with Zach LaVine, you kind of need to really pop off at that price tag. And I think we're both in agreement here that the matchup isn't great and it's not a spot that we love. So I just don't really feel great about any of these Bulls.
All right, cool. Let's move on then. And I agree, by the way. Clippers at Cavs. This is the second night of the back-to-back for the Clippers. They played Brooklyn on Tuesday night. Cleveland's obviously been a much better defense this year. They play relatively slow, but I still think, and maybe it's because they're on the back-to-back or something, but I think Paul George and Kawhi are way too cheap on DraftKings. George is 8,700, Kawhi's 9K flat. As long as they're both in the lineup, or one of them's, they're in the lineup, I have interest in both of them. I know Cleveland's defense has been good, but, you know, Isaac Okoro is a good defender. He's probably the Cleveland's best wing defender, which, you know, he's helped that defense for sure, but he's not going to be able to cover these guys. Chetty Osman is not going to be able to cover Kawhi Leonard. Torian Prince will probably start at the four again with Nance out. Decent defender. It's just not going to matter where those guys are at their price tags. If the Cavs can keep it close, I think both these guys could go for 50 plus. What do you think about the Clippers?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a spot where it's going to depend on the situation. Like, I assume we at least have a potential to see one of these guys sit, if not both of them. Second half back-to-back against, no offense here, but against Cleveland. So they might just take it easy on a guy like Kawhi here. If that's the case.
Hey, man, Cleveland's in the playoffs if the season ended today.
That's true. That's
with
true.
With a 10-11 record, I think.
But do you see their quote today about how they get all hyped up to play like a team like the Nets, and they had a bunch of, like, I guess, vigor to come back and have a big game here. And I think, like, this might just be one where they're like, okay, we'll just take it easy, Kawhi. Take the day off. But I don't know. If one of them sits, I think the other one's in a smash. But I do agree that they're both probably too cheap. Like, Kawhi especially at 9K, I think, is a bit too cheap. Like, we saw what he can do in that game against Brooklyn, 39 minutes. If the game stays close, he's going to play those kind of minutes. So I definitely agree. I think they're both fine here. I just don't know if I like any of these secondary pieces. Like, the one that probably pops the most for me is Reggie Jackson, I guess. with no Patrick Beverley. If Patrick Beverley is indeed out again, I assume he will be, but nothing really for sure. Batum played really well in that game against Brooklyn, but I will not have a ton of interest in him at 5'2". So it's pretty much just Reggie Jackson for me outside of the top two.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. Let's go to Cleveland, where they're more interesting. We got the word that Andre Drummond, heading into the last slate, was going to be questionable at the back, and he didn't play Monday. Jared Allen got the start and predictably smashed, went for 23 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 blocks in 35 minutes. Drummond's questionable again here. Larry Nance has been ruled out. If Drummond's out, is $6,500 still a price tag where you'd like to get to Jared Allen? Because, I mean, he, in that last game, he had 30 rebounding opportunities, which were 8 more than anybody else on that slate, and 7 more than Capella averages per game for the season, which leads the league. Like, it's an insane number. And since joining the Cavs with Drummond off the floor, 20% usage rate. We know he's not a high usage guy. He gets a lot of his points off pick and roll and putbacks and stuff like that. But 32% rebounding rate, 1.23 fantasy points per minute. The Clippers are a great defense, but like, they can be had down low. We know that. That's probably the one weak point of their defense. Thoughts on Cleveland if Drummond's out? If Drummond's in, I don't really know who I get to here. Like, Sexton's not at a bad price, but this is a tough matchup. It's not as bad with Beverly potentially out, but then it's like the wings aren't intriguing anyway, and they have two of the better defenders in basketball against them. Garland, maybe at 5,900. He's been better lately, facilitating a lot. 38 minutes last game, but I don't know. Cleveland's not that enticing to me in this spot unless Drummond's out.
Yeah, this could be a spot. Like, if one of those guys, like, if, say, Kawhi's out, Patrick Beverley's out again, the defense isn't looking as good, especially on the perimeter. So Garland, I think, still too cheap. Sexton is now under 7K on DraftKings as well. So he was under 7K for the last like 3 games on FanDuel. Let's see if he's still there. He's 6'8 over there. So it could be a spot where this defense isn't looking as good as it once was. So I don't mind those guys, especially at their price tags. But Jared Allen, if Drummond's out, totally fine with this price tag. Not worried about it at all. The minutes will be definitely fantastic. I would assume it'd be fairly easily 30 plus, and it'd probably live in that 30 to 35 minute range once again. I guess there was some potential concern with McGee, but they showed no interest in playing McGee more than they needed to. They just wanted to let Jared Allen do his thing, and it worked. So Allen's totally fine. I think Sexton and Garland, I wouldn't mind taking shots on them if both Kawhi and Paul George played, because I do think they're too cheap for guys that, you know, they're going to play 34, 35 minutes with upside for more. Like, especially Sexton in terms of the minutes. But yeah, I'd like both of those guys there. I would like him a bit more if one of those guys, Kawhi or Paul George, were out, though. But yeah, as for Jared Allen, I think he's totally fine at that price.
All right, anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Washington at Miami up next. Wizards playing right now or closing out their game? No, they're probably done. But they're done. Second end of back-to-back for them, so keep an eye on Russell Westbrook potentially. Other than that, though, I think they should be good. Total for this game, I don't even know if it's out right now. Doesn't look like it is. So, Miami, Tyler Hero probable, Goran Dragic probable. So, Miami's finally pretty much at full strength for the most part, which makes them less appealing for fantasy, although this is a great spot for anybody on this team, right? I mean, Jimmy Butler's had back-to-back 50 fantasy point games since returning from his absence. He's played huge minutes, so the conditioning's fine. 8,400. Bam's 9,300. Bam could go for 60 in this spot. We know that. But I think Bam's a little bit too expensive with this team at full strength. I love Bam, but for me, unless I'm rolling out a couple sacks this game, like I think I like Randall more. I definitely like Embiid more. I like Christian Wood more. Sabonis is just, it's hard to, Sabonis shouldn't be $1,000 less than Bam. What do you think of Bam and Butler in this spot? And then do you like any of the secondary plays from Miami? Because like I said, it's one of the best matchups you can ask for.
Yeah, for me, I think it just leads me to Butler because everybody else is priced up as if Butler was gone. And obviously Butler didn't get a price up while he was on the bench with an injury. So like Butler's at that normal price. And he's actually priced up a bit based on where he was for a while, but he was also very cheap for a while. He was in the low to mid sevens, which is just way too cheap. So I like Butler a pretty good amount here. 8-4. Obviously, usage is always going to be good with Butler. He does a lot of different things. And so, yeah, I think he's in a fantastic spot. He actually played this Washington team in January and went nuts against them. He was 7-4 against them.
Went on the COVID list or whatever.
Yeah, yep. And that was the game that Westbrook and Beal were both out, and that game actually ended up staying close, which is very weird. But, yeah, I like Butler a pretty good amount. You kind of nailed it with Bam, in my opinion. Like, Bam could easily have a monster game here, but he's priced up not only that as if Butler were out, but as if Hero and Dragic were still out. So now if those three were out, Bam at this price, I'd probably say he's too cheap. But with all three of those guys there, I don't mind playing him here. But for me, like, a lot of other options at this price range. And I think I would just much rather play Jimmy Butler for $900 less.
I agree. And I love Bam, but I don't love the price. I really don't. For Washington, do you think there's a chance Westbrook sits?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we've seen him play on the second half of back-to-back yet, have we?
I don't think so.
At least not in the past month. So I think there's a really good chance that he sits, especially because he had that, what was it, quad injury or something that forced him out of a couple of games and he missed a while. So
he just came off his minutes limit like a game ago. So like,
yeah,
it's very possible. If he's active, I still think he's a little bit too cheap given the rebounding. Like, I talk about it a lot, but his rebounding numbers and like opportunities and stuff like that are rivaling what he did in OKC. Like, even when they had Thomas Bryant active, Thomas Bryant was just doing what Steven Adams did a lot of those games, just let Russ get the rebounds. So I think he's a little bit too cheap at 9,200. Beal's 9,700. I mean, at that price, if Westbrook's out, you just kind of lock him in and take your 40 real points. That'll probably get you because he's ridiculous right now. If Russ is out, though, like Raul Neto is already been ruled out, so we would see plenty of Ish Smith at 4,800, who it's not like a price where you say, okay, I got to play Ish Smith now, but it's intriguing. He's always been a high assist guy when he's on the floor. What do you think of the Wizards here? And then we have the whole front court situation where, like, all their guys are back, but like Bertans is tough to trust. Denny Avia's minutes have been limited since he's returned. It's kind of messy. And then, of course, like, nobody's excited about playing Robin Lopez or Mo Wagner or anybody.
Yeah, I mean, Ish Smith, if Westbrook were to sit, would be, in my opinion, very interesting because you're not dealing with Neto. And then, like, Ish Smith, he's played 50 minutes over the last two games, 27 in the game against Portland, 23 in the game before that. So, like, Smith is a guy, like, you could probably argue that he's somewhat in play, even if Westbrook were to play. I wouldn't love it, but if Westbrook's out, I assume he'll start. They could just start Jerome Robinson, and they could kind of mess with ball handling duties that way.
They did that this year, I think, and that was when all their guys were out with COVID.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't be necessarily surprised they did that, but I would definitely expect Ish to start. And at that price, you know, the price isn't really great either, but that's because he's been somewhat viable even with those guys active. Like, over the past three games, 32, 20, 23 DK points, and that's not even counting what he did last game. And when he played 27 minutes, he had 26 fantasy points. So, like, he's definitely in play here, and he's very good value play, in my opinion, if Westbrook is out. If Westbrook does play, I like him a pretty good amount here. As long as there's no word on limits. Like, there are a lot of point guards that are either in that price range or just point guards that you like here. Like, Trae Young at $300 more. If there's a word of Westbrook being limited, I would much rather just play Trae Young, who's probably going to have a chance to play 40 minutes if the game stays close. And if Westbrook is going to, you know, be lucky to crack 30, I'd probably just stay away from it. But if he just sits, Beal, man, like, he's going to shoot the ball 30 times, I think, is what you could probably...
Yeah.
Like, he's been shooting the ball like 25, 26 times a night with Westbrook on the floor. So the usage is just going to be massive for Beal. So I would absolutely love him. Pairing him with Jimmy Butler would make a ton of sense. And then all these other guys here, Abdia would be somewhat interesting.
Yeah, I kind of skimmed over him, but I probably should go back. He played 23 minutes tonight and started. Yeah. I didn't realize he was this cheap. He's 3,500 on DraftKings.
Yeah, he also started in the game against Brooklyn and he only played 15 minutes. So, like, it doesn't really feel great. But I do think if you take Westbrook out of the equation, potentially opens up some more minutes with him, because they said that they would push Beal up to the one if they need ball handling duties.
Yeah.
So Avdija could open up some minutes on the wing if Beal was, you know, playing the one more. So that's someone that's very interesting. And he's a guy who I assume is going to be a good permanent guy. Anytime he's gotten like extended run, he's done pretty well with it. So he's a guy that I do have some interest in. Hashimura finally got some more minutes. He's someone that is also, you know, not as exciting for a per minute basis, but he's a guy who can do a few different things. He put up 24 points in that game against Portland, played 34 minutes. For me, that's a big thing for him, 34 minutes. He's a guy who, it's kind of like Troy Brown last year, where they could play him anywhere and be totally fine with it. So that's what's getting him minutes. And so I would have some interest in him here. I just think if Westbrook were out, I would probably prefer Avdija, because they might find themselves in like similar minutes projections. And then at that rate, Avdija's cheaper. Avdija probably has, they're probably pretty similar in per minute, but just based on the price tag, Avdija is someone that would be very interesting for me. Bertans, man, this guy, I was, so it was funny because me and my friends, you know, legal sports betting just happened in Michigan. So we like do some bets together and we like sweat it out. And we bet the Westbrook over 40.5 PRA, points, rebounds, and assists. And he had like 39, right, with like 3 minutes left. And he passed up a layup, which would have gotten him there, to kick it out to Bertans, who just bricked a wide open three. Next possession, the next two possessions, Bertans missed two open threes off of Westbrook potential assists. So we were all just tilting Bertans, who went 2 for 10.
Not to mention he got dunked on the other night.
Yeah, brutal stretch for him. And yeah, so I mean, the minutes have been there for Bertans over the past couple of games. He played 30 in both of them. I would much rather play Avdija and Hashimura, yeah, and probably
like,
Ish.
Bertans is like less exciting Bojan Bogdanovic from Utah. Like, no, yeah, peripherals. Going to shoot a lot of threes. If he hits them, it's great. If he doesn't, he's going to get you like 8 fantasy points, potentially.
Yep, pretty much.
I agree, though. Avdija, 3,500 is worth a look. Ish Smith has a 26% assist rate and just under a fantasy point per minute with Westbrook off the floor. Not to mention, like you said, Raul Neto's out, so the minutes should be solidified. Washington had like a 9-man rotation tonight. They technically played like 11 or 10 guys, but like Isaac Bunga played 1 minute. Cassius Winston played 1 minute. Alex Len played 8 minutes. So, especially if Westbrook's out, that becomes really interesting. We'll keep an eye on it for sure. Moving on to Houston and OKC. These teams played the other night as well. This game tilted the hell out of me. I had declared Christian Wood one of my favorite plays of the slate. I loved him, wrote him up, talked about him on the podcast. He comes out very similar to what he did against New Orleans and just smashes, right? Huge. He had like 10 and 5 with a couple, with like a block and an assist in the first quarter. The problem is Houston went 11 to 14 from 3 in the first quarter, didn't look back, and won by 30. So Christian Wood played under 30 minutes for the second straight game. Guess who's going back to Christian Wood in the same spot? 8,600 for Christian Wood. The Thunder, a bottom five team against the opposing roll men out of the pick and roll. Christian Wood's averaging the most points per game out of the pick and roll as the roll man in basketball. It's the same thing. It's the same reason I liked him. If the Thunder can keep it close. Now, the question is, if they could keep it close with SGA, how are they going to do it without him? Because he's been without for this game. That is my concern, but I'm still going back to Christian Wood in tournaments. John Wall is out too, though. So this is a very interesting game. John Wall and SGA out for the respective teams. George Hill still out for the Thunder. He's going to be out for a little bit, so we should continue to see Theo Maledon start. He's been pretty good. A lot to unpack here. Let's start with Houston. John Wall out. Oladipo, 7,800. We saw the numbers he put up when he first joined the team, when John Wall was still out with, I think it was a knee injury. Seems like a good spot for Oladipo.
Yep. I mean, the numbers that he had were like I think in the first game that he played with the Rockets, no Wall there, he had a 42% usage.
Yeah.
The next game, it was like 38. So the usage should be massive here for Oladipo. And the shots have been there still, even over the course of the past, you know, week with Wall. He just hasn't really been as efficient. But he's shown some upside in some games, you know, 41 two games ago, 46 three games ago. So he does have a ceiling here. Going against his former team, don't know if that matters much, but the usage uptake is something that's very interesting here. I think Oladipo is pretty interesting, but I think other guys on this Houston side are interesting too. But like you mentioned, I think you might have to be a bit careful here with the blowout. Like, this team is like literally, they should call him the Oklahoma City SGAs, because they have nobody else on their team besides Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
I really hope John Wall's absence can somewhat counter it, and it can just stay close. But SGA is way more important to the Thunder than John Wall is to the Rockets, and that's not a slight on John Wall. It's just shows that it's just more of a slight on the Thunder's team. There's going to be potential value here. I mean, who stands out? Obviously, Maledon's going to continue to start, but I guess they didn't actually price him up at all, really, huh? They didn't at all. He's the same price. So I played him against Houston. It's going to be tough to ignore him. But then you have, Hamidou Diallo's been a very high usage player when he's on the floor. His minutes have been all over the place this year. It's the problem. But he has played nearly 220 minutes with SJ off the floor this year. 27.4% usage rate, 1.2 fantasy points per minute, 23% rebounding rate. Like, who are we looking at other than Maledon?
I love Diallo. I have been liking him the past few games with George Hill out. Like, he hasn't really had a massive ceiling game, but 15 points, 18 real points over the last two games. Like you mentioned, the usage has been very good. It's just the minutes, really. Last game, he only played 15 minutes, a little bit due to blowout. Also due just because they just don't really run him out there a ton. But I think, he's going to start here, I would assume. Like, they don't really have anybody else to start here.
Yeah, what do we think their five is? Maledon, Dort, Diallo, Baisley, Horford?
That's what I would assume. But, I guess they could do something, really weird and, start Pokuševski or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Oh, no, they're sending Pokuševski down to the G League team after Monday's game. So, he's not going to be available. They're going to start Kenrick Williams or Darius Miller or something. I doubt it. So why not just start the guy that you've been allowing to run your second unit the past few days? And hey, your second unit's your first unit now, right? So yeah. I would assume maybe Ty Jerome starts, but he's out. No, they just assigned him to the G League as well. So if it's not Diallo, I'd be very surprised. I just don't know what else they could do.
Yeah, Diallo and Theo Maledon, I know you do the ownership projections. What would you peg them at here on late Tuesday night?
I don't think Diallo, unless Diallo gets hype around the industry, if a lot of people get onto him, I don't think he would be that popular. Maledon, I would probably assume he'd fall in that 25-30% range.
Yeah, I was going
to
say 30. So
yeah, people have been playing him a bit, so I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to play him. Bryce didn't go up. He should see more usage. The minutes should be even more secure and potentially even higher. So, I don't mind playing these guys together. I think even Lu Dort could potentially be interesting. Another guy who he only played 24 minutes last game, but
he was pretty popular last slate too.
Yeah, he gets actually a pretty big usage without George Hill. So I assume it's going to be even bigger of a bump with SGA off the floor. So
Dort,
all three of those guys.
Lu Dort with just SGA off the floor this year, his usage rate jumps by 9%. Almost 10%. 9.5% his usage rate jumps up. That's absurd.
He's the same price as Diallo, too. All three of these guys are the same price. Yeah. So that actually might lead to lower ownership on all of them because they're all
– And nobody's going to want to play – nobody's going to – I don't want to say nobody, but most people won't want to play two of them in the same lineup.
Yeah, agreed.
So, yeah, it's an interesting call. The rest of the Rockets real quick. Does Eric Gordon get a bump for you? I already talked about my love for Christian Wood. Oladipo's obviously in a great spot with John Wall out. Anybody else stand out?
Yeah, Eric Gordon's pretty interesting. I actually like Eric Gordon a lot over on FanDuel. He's a guy who he's actually been pretty good over the past, two or three games. Just hasn't got a ton of minutes due to the blowout a bit. Like those Christian Woods games getting killed. Also, Eric Gordon games have been killed as well.
Eric last Gordon's game, part of the problem minutes. With Christian Wood. He comes off the bench and hits seven threes. I'm like, all right, game's over, thanks.
Yeah, last game he played 21 minutes, scored 25 points, had 27 FanDuel points. Like, at this price, though, on FanDuel, he's 4-9. Like, at this price, you're not happy if he puts up 27, but if something goes weird and he only gets 27, you're like, okay, I guess that's fine. So I like Gordon a pretty good amount, especially on FanDuel, where you get a little bit of leeway because of how cheap he is. So, yeah, and then you can obviously play Oladipo. You can play Christian Wood here. 8-6, I think, is totally fine, and he should get a usage bump with no Oladipo. Yeah,
I'm playing him. If this game blows out again, I just have to remember that the Rockets are the hottest team in basketball outside of Utah right now. So there's that. But we'll see. It should be interesting with Wall and SGA out for their respective teams. Three games left. Minnesota at San Antonio. More injury news here. LaMarcus Aldridge has been ruled out for the Spurs with a right hip injury. So don't get to see him finish with 11 points and 3 rebounds, unfortunately. I mean, I don't even know how much of a bump it gives to, like, DeRozan and those guys, because Aldridge has just kind of done nothing this year. But obviously it leads to more minutes for maybe Trey Lyles, Jakob Poeltl. Who stands out to you from San Antonio with Aldridge ruled out?
The first guy that comes to my mind is Keldon Johnson. And yeah, that's mainly because
he's dope.
Yeah, he's really good. I enjoy watching him a lot. I play a lot of my volume on FanDuel, and on FanDuel, he's 5'7". He's been 5'4", 5'6", and now 5'7" on the slate over the past 3 slates. So that's just way too cheap. Like, the minutes have been fairly up and down. Like, when he first, you know, got into the starting lineup and all that stuff at the beginning of the year, his minutes were really good, and they haven't been as good over the past 3 games, 30, 20, 32, 31, 28. Those are the past 5 games, but you know, with no LaMarcus Aldridge, I believe it's Trey Lyles. He could play here. So that is something that could take the minutes away. But I do think Keldon Johnson will benefit a bit in terms
Lyles
of minutes.
Lyles is fine. He just hasn't been part of the rotation at all really lately.
Yeah, but when we saw LaMarcus Aldridge out early in the year, Lyles started. Yep. So that is something to note. Maybe if we see a world in which Keldon starts at the 4, he just gets a massive bump in the minutes, but with Keldon still starting at the 3 alongside Lyles, I still think he'll get a small bump in usage and then maybe a small bump in minutes. So he's just getting minor bumps everywhere, and that's good for him. DeRozan, I think, is fine. Like, we were doing the live stream earlier today, and
DeRozan's become an interesting topic the last couple of days.
I said something about the Nets, and I go, well, what's worse than 0 in terms of how much defense the Nets are playing? And then someone in the chat cracked a joke saying DeMar DeRozan, just because he's less than 0, apparently, DeMar DeRozan is, which is pretty accurate over the past 2 games. Like, he's cheap on FanDuel. He's 7-2 over there. But that's starting to feel like that's kind of what his price should be. He's 6'9 on DraftKings. Like, that, it feels weird. Like, early in the year, he was up near 9K at one point.
Yeah, he was on fire to start the season. Me and Joe talked about it the other night. He's not been as aggressive this year. He's been more of a facilitator, which usually, like, during his first couple years in San Antonio and pretty much every year in Toronto, he was a guy that took 20 shots pretty much every game. Hasn't been as much of the case this year. Maybe it goes up. I mean, he's still a high usage player with Aldridge off the floor, around 27%. But he's a player that, like, on this slate, if I see he's going to be really popular, I might just fade him, because they still have DeJounte Murray, they still have Keldon Johnson, they still have Lonnie Walker, and Derek White's back. Like, I don't think Aldridge being out all of a sudden means 100% DeRozan's back taking 20 shots. And if he's popular, like, if he sucks again, like,
yeah,
he's not a bad play, obviously. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. 6,900 with no Aldridge against a bad Minnesota defense, he's obviously not a bad play.
Yeah, but I mean, you kind of alluded to it, though. Like, there are clear pivots here. Like, I would much rather play DeJounte Murray or even Keldon Johnson. Well, I guess it's closer for Keldon, but DeJounte Murray at 6'4 on DraftKings, I would much rather do that. Even with Derek White back, Derek White isn't going to come out and steal a ton of minutes. He's played 21 over the last 2 games. That was in blowouts. So, like, I think that's probably going to be close to where he's going to be settling in at. Murray played 24 and then 28 in the last 2 games. Both games they won by over 17, or the game was ended, whether I think they lost actually both of them, but both games ended in a 17-point difference or more. So the minutes should be good for Murray. Murray's my favorite Spur, easily. And this is a great matchup.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people won't view him as their favorite Spur because Derek White's back. But he's already – he and Keldon Johnson already lead this team in rebounding chances per game. So, like, that's why Aldridge's rebounds have been so bad. But that just shows how good their floor is right now in fantasy. Any interest in Jakob Poeltl if he starts? 4,600 is not exactly like you have to play him. But he's got like a 30-plus percent rebounding rate with Aldridge off the floor this year. It's actually 30% exactly.
Yeah. Did he start last time Aldridge was out, or did...
Because they've been playing DeRozan and Keldon at the 4 a lot, so I'm pretty sure they started both in games not together, obviously, but I think Aldridge missed multiple games. I think they started Poeltl in a game or two and Lyles in a game or two.
Yeah, there was one game, at least one game, where Lyles started at the four alongside Poeltl, I think. So it's definitely something that's going to be – we need to monitor the starting lineup. But agreed about the price tag, like $4,600. He's not at the point where, like, you need to play him. Like, for example, I like Zeller a pretty good amount, and he's going to be 900 more Zeller is than Poeltl. So, like, there are ways to not play Poeltl. But if he's starting, I think he's definitely in play.
Minnesota, D'Angelo Russell's questionable. I haven't gotten to much Minnesota in a while. Towns, I believe, is still out. I'm not crazy about Minnesota. This might be a team where I just don't go to. I know Naz Reid is probable. He played 13 minutes off the bench, but I don't think he... Like, at 5,800, that's a little scary. I don't know. I just don't see myself playing anybody on this team unless Russell's out, and that's the case. Malik Beasley's fine at 6,400. Anthony Edwards has been over 30 minutes in each of his last, or three of his last four games. He's been fine. 5,400, like, if there was one player I'd play, if everybody was healthy, it'd probably be him. But what do you think of Minnesota?
Yeah, I think if Reed starts, he's someone that's somewhat interesting on DraftKings. He's back under 6K. I think, you know, him coming off the bench is kind of a indicator that he's going to be limited in terms of the minutes. But if he starts again, I think he's someone interesting. But for me, like, I really see a couple of ways where I'm playing multiple Spurs. I like Murray a lot. I like Keldon Johnson a lot. DeRozan's in play. Poeltl's in play. So there are some Spurs that I like. So playing a couple of those guys, it would make sense to maybe like some of these Timberwolves. I think D'Lo is interesting on DraftKings. He's under 7K, so even though he's been absolutely terrible this year and especially recently, you kind of feel you can play him a bit easier just because of the price. But I like Anthony Edwards a bit too, since he's been starting. You know, he's played 31, 30, 28, and 32 minutes over the last four games. He gets a bump with D'Lo out, obviously, but even just him starting, him getting the minutes, is pretty nice. And he's a guy that, you know, we've seen it. He wants to shoot, and his usage has been up over 25% this year. So I don't mind going Edwards.
Moving on to the Phoenix Suns at the New Orleans Pelicans, 224 total. Suns favored by two on the road. Devin Booker, probable. He returned last game. Steven Adams is questionable. He missed the Pelicans last game. Jackson Hayes got the start at center. For the Suns, I didn't play anybody in the Suns in that slate with Booker back, and I should have played Chris Paul because he's playing at an insane level right now. Played 38 minutes. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I'm still not playing Devin Booker. It's just the ceiling's been much lower this year with the Suns playing slower, running their offense through Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton in the half-court set. Yeah, and yeah, Booker's still taking a ton of shots, but the peripherals are way down. His assists and ball handling responsibilities are way down, so I just haven't played. I don't think I've played Devin Booker once this year, and I don't think I'm going to on this slate. What do you think about the Suns with Booker back?
Yeah, not a lot of interest. I think Paul has been playing very well, but his price is not cheap anymore. He's 8K over on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's 8.3, so like he's not like he's cheap anywhere. So if you wanted to play Chris Paul again, can't really fault you for it. He's been playing so well. But for me, just not a ton of interest. It's kind of weird. Like, if this game would happen last year, it would have been a fantastic game environment. Like, both teams were not playing a lot of defense. Both teams were playing super fast. And now it's kind of the opposite. Like, Phoenix is very good defensively. They're playing very slow. New Orleans has slowed down tremendously from last year. They're speeding up a bit recently, but still not the prettiest of game environments. So I don't really like much of this game much of the Suns.
This game's possibly an entire fade for me. Zion's 8K. Not the price for me, not the spot for me. Brandon Ingram's 8,100. This Mikal Bridges is an elite defender. I'm good on that. Like, I'll find other plays. And then if Steven Adams is out, Jackson Hayes isn't even a lock. He played 11 minutes. Josh Hart, I knew it was going to happen. He's like the best rebounding guard in the NBA. Comes out, plays 32 minutes, grabs 13 rebounds. I think you can consider Hart as like the only play from the Pelicans for me, honestly, if Steven Adams is out again. Like, that's it. Like, Zion's been great scoring the basketball this year, but the peripherals have held him back a little bit for fantasy. He was fine last game, 39 fantasy points, but like, when's the last time Zion went for, I don't know if Zion's gone for 50 this year. He hasn't gone for 50 in any of his last 10, that's for sure.
He went for 50 one time this year on FanDuel, and that was in the second game of the year on Christmas.
Yikes. Oh, that was, I remember that game. That was the, that was the Heat
50.3.
game.
Yep. Heat.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. And that was the game where he had 14 rebounds. Like, the rebounds just haven't been there for him. And the last game, I assumed that he would potentially pick up a bit more of the peripherals with Steven Adams out. He had 8 rebounds, which is, I guess, fine.
That's
only
great for him
points.
This year. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't rant about this. I don't know if you've listened to me rant about their offense before, but it's bad. They just don't use him in the Zion is, like, theoretically one of the best role men in the history of basketball. Like, just in terms of his ability, his athleticism, and the Suns are like, nah, or the Pelicans are like, nah, we're good. We're good. I hate it. I'm good to move on to the last game if you are.
I guess there's one guy I want to touch on.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that's Lonzo Ball. I guess he's fine. Like, like he's been playing pretty good over the past three games. 32 minutes, 27 minutes, 35 minutes. The game where he played 27 was that blowout where Christian Wood and Aaron Gordon did it to him. But, yeah, Lonzo Ball is someone that's somewhat interesting for me. He's 6'2 over on FanDuel, 5'7 on DraftKings. So just too cheap for a guy who you kind of feel like you can count on him playing 30 minutes. And if he's going to continue to play how he typically does, where he's going to pick up rebounds, assists, hopefully some steals, maybe a block or two, add, 15 points, Lonzo Ball can have a decent game at that price. And then if you wanted to play Eric Bledsoe, he played 36 minutes last game, didn't do much with it, but
no kidding.
if you're looking for minutes, he's gonna have them. I'm not sure if you want him though.
That's such a good endorsement. So good. Pelicans. You have Lonzo Ball and Zion, and you're playing slow and in the half court with Brandon Ingram isolating all the time. No wonder you're not very good. Close out the slate with Boston and Sacramento. Second end of back-to-back for the Celtics. Obviously, Marcus Smart out. Kemba could sit here.
Yeah.
They already said he's going to be on a minutes restriction pretty much all year. So if he sits, I don't even know if it does that much for me. Because, yes, Smart and Pritchard are out. Am I going to play Jeff Teague when there's the Thunder value? I know Sacramento's like the worst defense in the league, but I saw Brad Stevens, I think it was earlier tonight or one of the other days, said that they will play Tatum at the one if they have to, a Smart out for the next couple games. And if Kemba rests, probably see point Tatum in this game.
Yep. You nailed it.
Against Sacramento.
Yeah, that's something that I'm very interested in. Like, even if he wasn't going to play point guard, I love Jason Tatum in this spot. He does have to compete with some guys at his position that are very good plays. Christian Wood, Sabonis, Giannis, all that stuff. But the Kings are just a fantastic matchup here. I think Tatum makes a lot of sense, especially if Kemba were to sit, not only would it open up usage, but it could even super amplify his usage because of the fact that he's going to get some point guard minutes. Like, for me, Kemba's not really much of a factor. Right? I guess he's a little bit of a factor, but he's not going to ever see like 30 minutes or even much more than 30 minutes. So
he's at 20 right now with 5.5 left in the third. So
they'll find a way. They'll find a way.
He'll probably finish at 28, but I'm going to keep an eye on it for sure.
Yeah. So if you're at a point where if he does get more than 28, you're really thinking, okay, he's probably going to sit. That's why they're playing him so much. They plan on sitting him tomorrow, but Jaylen Brown is interesting as well too. Like, he gets a nice boost over the past couple of years.
Loved him tonight. He's 4-14.
Yeah, he gets a nice boost with Smart off the floor, and then if you take Kemba off the floor too, even better.
It's a similar spot because the reason I like Jaylen Brown is because it's a huge peso spot. He's second in the entire NBA in transition points per game behind Giannis, and Sacramento plays not as fast as Golden State, but they still play pretty fast, and they're just a much worse defensive team than Golden State. So, and this is a guy that's taking, I think it was prior to tonight's game, 19.6 shot attempts per game. So he's chucking. They are great plays. This team's kind of like the Clippers all of a sudden, though. It's like Jaylen Brown and Tatum are like the Kawhi and Paul George. And then do you play anybody else? Both teams use two centers that you'd never really want to play. Both teams have, well, when healthy, Kemba's obviously way better in fantasy than any of their other Clipper guards, but I don't know if I want to play anybody. Like, I don't think I'm going to even play any of the guards if Kemba's out. There's no point.
Yeah, I guess Teague could be somewhat interesting if you wanted to, like, compare ownership between him and, like, some of the Oklahoma City guys. But I would much rather play Diallo. I would much rather play – well, maybe – I would probably rather play Maledon. Probably rather play Dort. So, like you mentioned, like, they're definitely pivots. But if he's going to be – let's say Teague was going to be 3% and he was going to start while the Thunder guys were all going to be, like, 15-plus with a couple of them being 30, I wouldn't mind going to Teague here. The match was very good. But after the comment from Stevens, like, are we even sure that he's a starter?
They could start. It depends if Tatum's actually going to start at the one or just start at the four and play point like LeBron did last year and every year of his career, pretty much. Like,
yeah,
that's really what it depends on. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if they just didn't start Jeff Teague still.
Even if Tatum doesn't start at the one, like, how surprised would you be if Tremont Waters started? A couple of games back when we were debating between him and Pritchard, thought Pritchard would start. They go, oh, we're going to start Waters.
Yeah.
I would love if they started Carson Edwards. That would be fun. Carson Edwards in a spot against the Kings where, you know, he's going to go out and try to shoot 40 times. That would be fun.
I don't know if we're going to get that, but that would be fun.
I don't think so either.
Let's close it out with Sacramento. De'Aaron Fox has been great, coming off a huge game, 8,500. He's still somebody I struggle to get to at this price, but games like last game show the upside he has. The floor is always really high with him. How much do you like him, if at all? And then, I mean, the Kings are pretty much at full strength right now. So I know Bagley got ejected in their last game. I don't know. Like, the Kings are all kind of just, like, fine. Like, Barnes plays huge minutes. He was great last game. He plays, like, 38 to 40 minutes in every competitive game. So he won't kill you. Buddy Hield's obviously been more consistent this year with Bogdanovich gone, and he's playing huge minutes right now. Like, we talk about it with a lot of these teams, like the Raptors and the Knicks playing huge minutes for the starters, but the Kings have been like that too this year, minus Marvin Bagley. It's been like Barnes, Fox, Beal, and Holmes have all played huge minutes this year.
Yeah. I wish Bagley didn't get ejected, because I wanted to see what they're going to do with their rotation, because at halftime he had 20 minutes. He got ejected a minute into the third.
Yeah, Whiteside picked up a bunch of fouls early too.
Yeah, so like, Bagley's a guy I don't mind taking a shot on here. If he does get 28 minutes, he can definitely get there. But Halliburton has been closing.
Yep.
So that kind of kills Bagley. But it helps Halliburton a ton. He's been in that 30-minute range. Halliburton, you kind of need him to do a ton in terms of peripherals and stuff, because he's not going to score a ton with Buddy Hield. Every time he sees the ball,
he's always on the floor with Fox too. Like, he's always on the floor with him, which is fun for, like, NBA fans, but for fantasy, like, Halliburton's such a low usage player, but he's so efficient. Like, he does so much with the little usage he gets, which is why he's been great. Like, he's probably been, what, second best rookie in the league this year? Maybe third? Maybe even first. You can make the case he's been better than LaMelo. It's just LaMelo has the flashy stats and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been good, and he's definitely up there for sure. And he's priced to a point where on both sides, 5'6 on FanDuel, 5'4 on DraftKings, I think he's more than fine. I think I'd rather play him than Buddy Hield, even though Buddy Hield, he's actually been playing pretty well. I like to slander Buddy Hield a lot because he sucks, but he's actually been playing pretty well. And he's a guy who I think does have some potential. He does have a ceiling, because he shoots 15 threes a game, it seems. So if he hits 8 of them, he has a ceiling alone and just from his threes. So Buddy Hield is someone that's interesting, but I think I would just rather play Halliburton for $1,000 less.
So let me get this straight, and I heard this correctly. You just said on record that Buddy Hield's going to do exactly what Fred VanVleet did tonight.
I said he could.
You said it.
Anyone who shoots threes like Buddy Hield does should be able to make, like, should be able to do what VanVleet did. The way Buddy Hield shoots threes, you would have to assume, like, this guy just is going to hit it. Like, he just shoots them with such confidence.
He's just practicing for the three-point contest at all times. Like,
his life is a three-point contest.
By the way, Tyrese Halliburton has a 15.9% usage rate, but he's still averaging a fantasy point per minute, pretty much. Like, I think if you get to the King starters outside of maybe Bagley, like, I feel fine with it. Like, they're going to play plenty of minutes. none of them are priced egregiously. Like, Fox is priced highly, but it's kind of warranted right now.
Yeah. Yep, I totally agree. Even Holmes, you can kind of make a case for. Like, you probably don't feel fantastic playing him at that kind of price. He's 7K on FanDuel. 6-4 on DraftKings, I think, is actually fine. But again, like, if you played him, he definitely has a ceiling. We've seen it multiple times where Holmes can get there. And it's not a matchup that I don't think you're scared of it anymore if you're playing Boston. I think there's one guy in Boston that we didn't mention, Daniel Tice. His minutes have actually been pretty good. He played 34 minutes a couple nights ago against the Lakers. Right now they're playing, and he's got 22 minutes with 3 minutes left in the third. So it looks like they're trimming the rotation down a bit in terms of their center minutes. So if Tice is going to play 30 minutes, I think he's fine at 4-9. But that's pretty much all I like from this game.
All right, Kyle Murray, appreciate you as always, man. What do you got going on at FTN tomorrow? 10 games slate, a lot of content, obviously. Joe and I, we switch every day. So, you know, game by game and five stats will be up. But what do you got going on?
Yep, got the live stream at 5 every single day. I think Meany and Steph are joining me for that at 5 p.m. Eastern time. Got my article that comes out right around the time the show starts, the player rater report, where I basically look at my model and I have a player rater system that you guys can actually access on ftndaily.com, where in the ownership tab, you can click on that and you'll see the ownership, see my projections, and see my player rater. So I have all that live around 1. And then it updates as the day goes on with ownership and all that stuff. So all that plus the article plus the show, we've got this podcast, a lot of content, but that's how I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fun time right now. I'm just, I don't know if it was because the Bills lost and then I don't have anything to be excited about, but I am just like everything basketball. I get to this point every year where it's like, okay, right around week 14 or 15 in the NFL, I'm like all in on basketball in terms of like fantasy, real life. It's just, I listen to it, listen to podcasts, I watch it, I listen to it when I go to bed. Like, it's just, it's my life right now. But football is still there too. And NFL draft's coming up and the Super Bowl is coming up. We have a Super Bowl package for $20, which you should definitely check out. We have content from Jeff Ratcliffe, Brad Evans, Derek Brown, a bunch of people with showdown stuff, betting, props, I mean, fantasy, you name it. Super Bowl quietly a couple days away. So make sure you check that out if you're planning on betting, playing DFS, showdown slates, anything like that. And best of luck on this slate. Have a good Wednesday. We will be back on Thursday. Thanks for listening as always. Peace out.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.